Time now for our regular music feature. Today, reinterpreting historic jazz recordings. This is a piece from the early 1920s. It's called Lucky 369, and it was recorded by a relatively obscure artist named Tiny Parham. Now, take a listen to this next track. It's the same song, just a modern version. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? This is by Brian Carpenter's Ghost Train Orchestra out of New York City, and it's one of the many new pieces of jazz that have crossed NPR music producer Patrick Jernwatanonen's desk. And Patrick is back with us. Patrick, it's great to have you here.
A pleasure and an honor.
So you've been noticing lately all of these jazz tributes, particularly this year. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's funny. I recently saw an article by the New York Times jazz critic Ben Ratliff. He started with the lead, "One way jazz can seem from the outside is as a never-ending eulogy." And so he went on to list, of course, like six different jazz tribute concerts that were happening in New York that week alone. I imagine there are probably more of them where that came from, too.
I want to get to the why, you know, why this is happening a bit later. But first, I want you to talk about this music we're hearing. It's a really great track by Brian Carpenter's Ghost Train Orchestra out of New York. It's a sound you really don't hear anymore, so obviously, this is a nod to the early days, the beginnings of jazz.
That's right. In fact, almost all the music on this album is by jazz composers of the 20s, 30s, who were pretty obscure. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of Charlie Johnson's Paradise Orchestra or Fess Williams' Royal Flush Orchestra.
Nope.
And these bands were usually somewhere between like what became big band and, I guess, a small combo, you know, 8 to 11 pieces or so.
It's really great stuff. That's Brian Carpenter's Ghost Train Orchestra from their new album. It's called Hot House Stomp. Okay, Patrick, so Brian Carpenter obviously, you know, reaching back, trying to find clearly obscure jazz musicians. Are a lot of artists doing this right now? Are they going particularly to lesser-known musicians?
Sure. I mean, there's a long history of jazz. It's nearly 100 years old now. And, you know, let's face it, the overwhelming majority of those jazz musicians are pretty obscure most general listeners.
And I don't recognize the next name of the artist you brought either, so I guess we are sticking with another obscure artist for the next record.
Yeah, we're actually moving ahead a few decades. This next album pays homage to a saxophonist named Lucky Thompson.
Again, a modern recording, and I'm really excited to learn more about this because I love this, and it sounds like it was, you know, done in the 40s or the 50s. This is a brand new recording of something that clearly comes from that era.
Lucky Thompson grew up in the bebop era, and, you know, bebop is sort of the underpinning of what mainstream jazz is today. This album is called Lucky Strikes Again, and it's arranged by another saxophonist named Chris Byers for his 8-piece band. So Chris Byers specializes in these kinds of tribute projects, these sort of intricately arranged 40s, 50s, 60s sort of stuff. You know, so by studying these distinct musicians, who time may have forgotten, he can both honor his predecessors and refine some of the ideas that he has as, you know, his own voice.
My guest is Patrick Jernwatanonen. He is a jazz producer and blogger here at NPR Music, and we're talking about some of the new jazz tribute albums that he's been noticing recently. It's not just obscure for obscurity's sake, right? I mean, you can't obviously always sell obscure because people just don't know who it is. So are there musicians who are reinterpreting big names?
Oh, of course. That actually brings us to the next album I brought along.
All right.
I hope you've heard of Tito Puente.
I have indeed. That's so great. I love it. I love the percussion. I love the energy. I love this sound. It's just, to me, this is my favorite kind of jazz.
That was Tito Puente's vibe. And this is actually a student band, if you can believe it. It's from the Manhattan School of Music. It is led by the veteran percussionist and a longtime educator. And sometimes he actually appears on NPR's airwaves. His name is Bobby Sanabria. Mm-hmm. And they've put out a live recording called Tito Puente Masterworks Live, with 3 exclamation points, and you kind of need them all.
So tell me more about this group. I mean, these are students playing his music. Fantastic. Absolutely fabulous. They're obviously using Tito Puente's name. They're going to hopefully sell some records by using that name. But is there something else going on here?
Sure. Well, jazz isn't really only about improvisation. It has to do with composition, too. And you learn to play like the masters by playing the masters' music and sort of absorbing it into your system.
I guess it makes sense if they're students. Patrick, we have time for one more record. It's by a band called Clang. Who are they covering here?
This is their take on the great clarinetist Benny Goodman.
Clarinet, vibraphone combination. Can't go wrong with that.
Yep. The clarinetist here is named James Falzoni. He's based in Chicago, and that's where Benny Goodman is from originally. So a little bit of history. In the 1930s, Benny Goodman had this quartet with vibraphonist Lionel Hampton. Hampton and pianist Teddy Wilson were black, and Benny Goodman and the drummer in that band, Gene Krupa, they were white. So here was maybe the most popular musician of his day, committing to having an interracial band. This album is called Other Doors, which is, I think, in part a reference to that very segregation.
Hmm. You know, Patrick, I was listening to some of the other tracks on this record, and I'm not a Benny Goodman expert by any means, but I got the sense that not all of the tracks on this album were particularly faithful to Benny Goodman's original work. Like, take a listen to this one for a sec. So, as I say, Patrick, I'm not a Benny Goodman expert, but was that something he did?
Well, the sort of electronic cello-y thing in the background,
right.
Probably not.
Okay.
But James Falzoni was asked to do a Benny Goodman tribute concert at the 2009 Chicago Jazz Festival. I was there, actually, and I quite liked it. And at first he didn't really know what to do with that stuff, but, you know, once he had studied the history and the music, he found he could sort of express himself in it. You know, I want to quote from the liner notes here. He said, "The greatest thing I can do to pay respect to a jazz musician of the past is to be a jazz musician of the present."
It really is a beautiful record. That's clarinetist James Falzoni and his band Clang. Their tribute to Benny Goodman is called Other Doors. Patrick Jernwan-Nonnen writes about jazz for NPR's A Blog Supreme. Check it out at nprmusic.org. Patrick, thanks again.
Come find me anytime.
And to hear more from the artists Patrick and I talked about, check out our website, nprmusic.org. And for Sunday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Remember, you can hear the best of this program on our podcast. Subscribe or listen at iTunes or at npr.org/weekendATC. We post a new episode each Sunday night. We're back on the radio next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great week.